702.
Weekend Breakfast with Refilwe Mpakanyane.
Live, online,
smartphones,
DSTV channel 856,
92.7 and 106 FM.
It is going on 7:37 on the Saturday edition of Weekend Breakfast. And you know what that means? We are officially in the Literature Corner. I did ask you for some voice notes on 0727021702. Share with me what you are currently reading, what you're currently enjoying and probably recommending to any and everybody that you come across. Let's take a listen to this voice note that just came through.
Hi, Refilwe. You asked what we're reading. Chris and I are reading On the Bright Side, the new secret diary of Hendrik Groen, 85 years old. It's a translation by Hester Fellmans and really enjoying it because it's kind of Adrian Mole for adults. Lots of love from Karen in Cape Town.
An Adrian Mole for adults. I love that description. Absolutely love it. Well, keep those voice notes coming through on 0727021702. And most importantly, if you do have any questions for my next guest, please do call us 011-883-0702. We are talking the inaugural Johannesburg Festival of Women Writers, which will be hosted by the University of Johannesburg's Institute of Advanced Studies. It is taking place next Sunday on the 12th of February at the Johannesburg Business School, on from 10 until 4, with the aim of showcasing and celebrating the work of women writers. Joining me now to talk about this is reading activist and, of course, organizer of the event, the Johannesburg Festival of Women Writers, Lorraine Sithole. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me, Refilwe.
It is an absolute pleasure. It really, truly is. Lorraine, you're also the vice chairperson of the International Board on Books for Young People South Africa. You are the founder of Bookworms Book. You're a publisher, a writer. You were longlisted for the 2017 Salt Blakey European Union Poetry Award. And you've contributed to various collections, including Black Tax, The Burden, Black Tax, Burden or Ubuntu, that was edited by Nick Mhlongo. You also contributed to When Secrets Become Stories, edited by Sunyati. And you're also the program manager for the South African Book Fair for 3 years, responsible for curating the literary program and the school's program. Clearly, I don't need to ask you why you felt the need to organize a Johannesburg Festival of Women Writers, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What gap are you looking to fill with this initiative?
With this festival, our biggest aim was just to bridge the gap between established writers as well as emerging writers, number one. Number two was to showcase, in terms of literary works, what has been produced in South Africa throughout the decades. And then number three, we wanted to foster and start conversations within the book value chain. So this festival is not a book-based festival, meaning that we are not zooming into various titles, but we are looking at the book value chain space as a whole. So we are encouraging emerging authors, people who are sitting at home with manuscripts, readers who want to know, you know, where the stories have come from, where the stories are going in 2022, and obviously taking into consideration the impact of social media on reading habits and the digital influences on how publishing is moving forward.
Yeah. Let's stick with that final point, the influence of digital, you know, interventions or developments on reading habits. How do we contend with that? Your thoughts around how we contend with that, or how we think around that as people that are passionate about literature and advancing enjoyment of literature and books? How do we think around that? Is it a matter of trying to outstrip, outplay, gain the attention of people and, you know, grab them from their screens? Or is there another way to I guess, play in this attention economy?
It is another exciting way of playing within the book publishing chain, especially when it comes to readers. If you know what young people are reading and interested in as a publisher and also as an emerging writer, you just go to BookTok. TikTok has exploded exponentially, and it has attracted people who would ordinarily not read for pleasure.
Yeah.
It's not that young people are not reading. They are just not into reading for pleasure. But TikTok has just given a dynamic spin to sitting at home and reading with all those filters and those aesthetics. It just made reading so much more exciting. And secondly, speaking about the digital influence on the way books are published, there are so many tools as an emerging writer, as someone who is interested in coming into the publishing space, that you can use. I mean, they are accessible, they are just at your fingertips. All you have to do, yes, spend a little bit of time just going through the many, many resources. But publishing is no longer as difficult as it was 20, 15 years ago.
Yeah. Publishing is not as difficult as it was 20 years ago. But of course, what you're also looking for is that traction and those sales. When you talk about the value chain, the book value chain, what else is going to be addressed at the festival next Sunday? And I guess it's sort of practical ways of making sure that writers, young, experienced, whatever it might be, get information that is useful, that will also, I guess, in many ways, give them a chance of creating what hopefully or ostensibly could be a sustained, but as much as possible, financially fulfilling, if that's a reality in our context, writing experience.
Great. I mean, we have 7 round tables which look at developments within the various genres, from your poetry to writing for kids, to distribution, to fiction. What are people writing about? What are readers looking for in fiction books? We're also looking at academic books. How do you position an academic book to someone like me who just reads for pleasure? And alongside that, as I said, we are going to be zooming into the bigger issues of promotion. How do you promote your book in 2022? We're looking at distribution, because access is a very, very big thing. We are going to be talking about pricing, and, you know, it's tough for everyone economically now. How do we then encourage people to keep on buying books and also to bring in new readers in the fold? We are also going to look at the production of the book. What does it take from writing your manuscript right up until seeing your book in a finished form, whether it is in hardcover or it's an e-copy, all those processes in between? So we have 33 participants taking part in these conversations, and all of them are various role players and stakeholders within the book publishing chain. And obviously we're looking at the community coming in, we're looking at parents, we're looking at children, because we're going to be hosting a parallel, very exciting, very interactive children's program. We're looking at students. I mean, this is hosted by the University of Johannesburg. So we are expecting a lot of young people to come in, and obviously families, communities from the surrounding areas.
Yeah. You've got such a fantastic list of panelists that will be there on the day. I mean, my eyes, like, I'm just looking. There's Atambile Masula who will be there. There'll be Eleanor Sisulu. As you say, they're 33, so too many to list. Kumo Tafumane of Ethnic Kids will be there as well. You've got Mamkina Mhlophe who will also be there. Yeah. The likes of Yewande Omotoso as well, Pumza Shabangu, Lebohang Masango. There's an extensive list. I think it's going to be such a worthwhile gathering, and those panels, I think, will just yield really, really fantastic results. So that is all happening next weekend on the 12th of February. I've also asked you to just put together, compile a list of titles that you'd like to recommend to us as we chat today. And I'm just going to start with the first one here. It's called Nuru, written by Langelihle Radebe. If you could tell us what Nuru is all about, and of course, why you thought it made the cut for today's conversation.
Nuru is an exciting collection of 77 poems written by Langelihle Radebe, who is just a fresh voice joining this literary landscape. And she's also featured on the program. I mean, the poems are haunting and they are very traumatic. And you read them and you wonder, where is the world going? What is going to happen to humanity? But peppered in there, Silwe, is also the reimagination of life as a young Black woman in South Africa. How do you see yourself taking into consideration all these challenges that we are facing? So I thought that it was such a fresh take on what we are going through as a country, what we're going through as a community, and also a very personal story of a young woman trying to find herself within South Africa. So yeah, it touched me very deeply, and also because it was one of the first books that I read in Jan, and it made me think a lot about a lot.
It made you think a lot about a lot. How, when you are reading a book of poetry, how do you do it in one sitting? Is it one of those where you might read a poem, put it down, come back to it, mull over the poem, and just sort of pick at it as and when the feeling grabs you?
And that's how I do it. I have never been able to read a collection of poems in one sitting.
Yeah.
And this one, especially this one, you know, the poems, although they are 77, which seems like a lot, but they are very short, they are very sharp, they are very punchy. So you read one, two pages, which is like four poems in those two pages, you put it down, you go away, you come back a couple of hours later or a day later. No, it forces you to just sit and mull over everything.
I'm going to ask you what might be an impossible question. If you could describe Langelihle Radebe's sort of turn of phrase or way with words for us. You've told us the subject matter. There's some poets who do this thing where you're reading without being aware of the act of holding the book and your eyes traveling over the words, and you're seeing flashes of imagery, you're seeing the pictures. Some poets give you a visceral experience where what you're doing is feeling everything that's on the pages, or perhaps tasting it, whatever it might be. But everyone does a thing, has their way with the words that gives you a totally different experience. Talk to me about what Langelihle does.
Oh my God, I hope I have the words to just put the feeling that I got as I was reading her collection over a number of days. Mm. Well, firstly, it's piercing, it is searing, but then it also leaves you with a sliver of joy that not everything is as dark and gloomy as we reimagine it to be. And as someone who is also just entering the literary space, you know, her words are very introspective. Mm-hmm. And I don't know her personally. I have never met her.
Yes.
But I'm looking forward to meeting the person behind these powerful words at the festival.
Yeah, that's really fantastic. The second title that you're recommending to us this morning is called Tracing, the Apartheid Novel Beyond 2000. Of course, it's actually Tracing the Post-Apartheid Novel Beyond 2000, post there being in parentheses. Tell us about this book. It's interviews with selected contemporary South African authors, and it's written by Dr. Daniela Demure and Olivier Morillon. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. I haven't done French, French. Since high school or spoken French since high school.
Yeah, I love this book because it introduces a new reader to a host of South African authors. I mean, everyone, all 14 of these authors who were interviewed is are authors that have come into prominence post-democracy. And, you know, reading at closer reading, you can actually trace how stories began to morph and change to reflect the changing landscape. And also you look at the names. It's predominantly Black, predominantly urban. I mean, you have Nick Msongo, who has been dubbed as the Kwaito writer.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, his stories are township-based. They speak about everyday life. They speak about the realities of living in South African townships. And alongside Nick, you also have Fred Khumalo, who has been writing for more than 20 years. And, you know, his books have this quintessentially Zulu humor. You know, there are always these Zulu words peppered into his narrative. And then there's Itikeng Mohlela, who is very literary. And we are, according to this book, you know, they are trying to move away from very literary works to contemporary works, which are easier to digest, especially for someone who is just entering the reading space as a reader for pleasure. But it's also such a great resource for someone who wants to find out how the literary landscape has metamorphosed throughout the years.
Yeah. No, it is a fantastic resource. It really, really is. And to that point, Daniela Demers is postgraduate fellow at UJ at the University of Johannesburg, and also the author of Reading Loss, Post-Apartheid Melancholia in Contemporary South African Novels. So that was published in 2019. So just a really fascinating area of interest and expertise that she's delved into and focused on. And then Olivier is a research associate at UJ as well, also author of Reading the Post-Apartheid City, Durbanite and Capetonian Literary Topographies in selected texts beyond 2000. So just such an interesting area of specialization there. And it is a lovely way for us as South Africans to understand ourselves, understand what we are currently sort of obsessed with, seized by, you know, because quite often we're trying to see ourselves, understand ourselves through the political, you know, with the capital P lens, and it's not very helpful a lot of the time. It's like, you know, using a hammer to like kill an ant. there are different ways, there are different lenses to just think about ourselves and think about the state of play and where we find ourselves. Lorraine, in your work as an activist and someone who wants to encourage reading, who wants to encourage South Africans to pick up books or to have a different sort of relationship with literature, with, you know, reading, with the books, what are the other ways in which you have throughout the years, what are the other sort of resources or methods that you found have been useful and actually are able to move the needles? Because, you know, we have this conversation in the context of, you know, bodies such as the South African Book Foundation having shut down, etc., for various depressing reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Book Council, sorry, having shut down. Yeah. What are those mean, you know, material ways that do actually move the needle that are still available for us to, you know, get South Africans and young people reading?
What I have seen work, Rafilwe, is conversations around books, and that is why it is so important to have festivals like the one that's coming up next week, Sunday. And also there's a huge reading, book clubbing culture in South Africa, if you go on social media every weekend, either on a Saturday or Sunday, mm-hmm. there are groups of people who have gathered and they are intentionally discussing what they have read. They are sharing other books that they have read. I mean, reading is such an individual and lonely thing. So it's important to keep a community of readers growing, a network of friends that you can touch base with once or twice a month, just to talk about what you have read, what you have discovered. That is why it is so important, the exploration that has happened across the social media space since the pandemic, and it has kept going. It hasn't stopped. We have come out for air, but we haven't stopped talking about reading, the importance of reading, what is coming out, what is happening. We're just sharing information around books on social media.
Yeah.
So for me, it's just the ability to be able to share, number one. And secondly, to have a network of people that you can meet either virtually or in person to discuss books.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so key. It is such a communal experience, and it's one to be just cherished and relished, and you just derive so much joy out of it. It truly, truly is.
Exactly.
Yeah, a communal experience. Yeah. All right. Lorraine, I am looking forward to the festival next week, Sunday. I am going to be there. Of course, entrance to the festival is free of charge, so there is little to no barrier to entry. I see no reason why we won't be descending on the festival in just masses and masses and masses. I wish you all the best in the running of the event. You will be less relaxed than some of us who will just purely be enjoying. You'll be in the background making sure that things work and function according to the program. So all the best in making that smooth running. But thank you so much for a lovely initiative. Always necessary, always needed. You've more than done your bit and continue to do so.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Rufile.